Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And as always, I got some questions to answer and some information, insights, suggestions to give, but not therapy advice. Just like the disclaimer says, this is not therapy. I'm not your therapist. I just happen to be a therapist. Just regular dude, happens to be a therapist. And I just happen to have a podcast where I answer questions that might be of help to some of you parents and also some of you teens. So today I got another teen question, but as always, parents, I want you to listen to these teen questions or how I give suggestions to teens. And you can send this to your teen, a friend's teen, whatever information, whatever nuggets you think you can take from these episodes, please take it, use it. It's free 99. It's on the house. All you had to do is press play. So let's get right to it. So today's question comes from, as I mentioned, from a teenager. And this one, I like this question. I like them all. That's why I picked the ones I like. But this one goes, how do you suggest to your parents that they get help for you, for your and their own sake? This is a very, very common question that I get from teenagers that are concerned about their family, concerned about, you know, what's going on. I happened to talk to this teenager, this question I got after a presentation, and this teenager came up to me afterwards and said, hey, I was the one who sent in this particular question, showed me the question. As I do with the teenagers when I speak, they show me the question that they sent in. I look at it. Boom, I say, I'm going to pick it for my podcast, and I give them a pair of free shoes, free Vans shoes. Thanks to Vans. Shout out to Vans for donating and sponsoring me and my nonprofit so I could do such a thing and give out shoes to kids for just being good kids and trying to improve their own lives, their family's lives, and their friends' lives as well. And so this teenager, she said, basically what she told me, she goes, yeah, my family's been fighting, arguing a lot. We really need help. We really need therapy. I want to talk to someone. I think they need to talk to someone. I think the issues are getting so bad that, you know, it could lead to divorce. It's definitely causing lots of chaos and stress amongst me and my siblings. And, you know, that's kind of the gist of the information that she gave me. And I said, for sure, I'll definitely answer this question. So what I wanted to do is with all my teen answers, I try to keep it a little bit shorter because y'all know me. I get a little long-winded in my examples and in my stories. Hey, you know, it's just who I am. I don't know any other way to talk. However, but with teenagers, I try to break it down into some more basic steps. So this one, I broke down into five basic steps. Now I'm going to give a little bit of detail on each one, but I talked to enough teenagers. When I tell teenagers the exact same thing, the exact same way that I'm sharing it here on this episode. So trust me when I tell you guys that they can pick up what you're putting down. It is not rocket science to them, as long as we're not, as adults, using big fancy words, and especially doing a lot of therapy talk. I do not like it when adults talk like therapists, because that's not teen language. That's not how they talk. So I'm going to keep this basic, keep this simple. But the first important step to this is the approach. So when you approach your parents, you want to first make sure. Now, a lot of times people just start off with like, okay, what do I want to say to my parents? But they don't take into consideration the timing of when they say it to their parents is first and foremost. I mean, that's very important. So before you even think about, like, you know, what you're going to say, you should be well aware of that when you say it and how you come at them are going to be very important. So a couple simple things on this first step, don't bring it up to your parents when they're stressed and tired. Now you may think to yourself, oh, my parents are always stressed and tired. Well, think about times when they're a little bit less stressed and a little bit less tired. Maybe like right after they have a meal, or maybe on a weekend. When, you know, they're calmed down and just kind of chilling, relaxing a little bit. So that's the first thing. You want to make sure they're not stressed, tired, hungry, or in the middle of an argument. If you have a complaint, like in this situation, or she's worried about her family and the drama, while there's drama going on, it's not a good idea to just shout out like, our family needs help. We need to go to therapy or else, you guys are going to get a divorce or we're going to have serious problems. That's not the right approach either. So step one, right timing. And the right timing is not when they're tired, stressed, hungry, and also when no one else is around. You do not want to bring this up in the middle of a conversation, and you don't want to bring this up in the middle of a bunch of other people as well. Step two, talk to your parents before you want to talk to them. So talk to them about talking to them. So this could be like before you go off to school, let's say you get dropped off by your parent and you're in the car by yourself, the parent, right before you get out of the car, lean over to your parent and say, "Hey, mom or dad," let's say you're talking to dad, say, "Hey, dad, I was wondering after school or after practice or maybe after dinner later on sometime tonight, can you remind me to bring something up to you that I've been wanting to talk to you about for a while? I just haven't felt there's been the right time, whatever." As soon as you say something like that, you guys, you are going to get your parents' attention because it is not normal that kids approach their parents like that. If kids want money, favors, or anything from their parents, they usually just go, "Oh, can I borrow $20? Can I have this? Can I hang out with my friend?" Very impulsive. So when a teenager or an older kid is like slowly, it's like measured. We're like, "Hey, is it possible if we could talk later on? It's about something that I've been thinking about. It's important." That right there is going to get their attention, and they're going to go, "Yeah, well, is everything all right?" Reassure your parent at that time. "Oh no, it's not like I'm angry or anything like that, or I didn't do. I'm not confessing to you that I did something wrong. It's just something I've been thinking about for a while, and you always told me I could just talk to you about anything if I had any worries or concerns or whatever. So it's not a bad thing. In fact, I think it's a good thing. I just want to make sure no one else is around, and we have time, and it's a good time for you. So maybe after practice, after dinner tonight, could you remind me to talk to you about it? But I just want to make sure, I'm not stressing you out or not stressing you out, but I'm not bringing up at a time that you're busy and you can't pay attention or listen, or you're unable to pay attention or listen because you got too much stuff going on." That right there, your parents will of course say, "Yeah, of course, yeah, sure, whatever." They may even text you in a little bit like, "Hey, is everything all right?" Like, they're going to be thinking about that throughout the rest of the day, which is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. The reason why the second step is so important is because you're giving them time to get mentally prepared to have, for all they know, an important conversation with you. If you were to just blurt it out and just spill the beans and catch them off guard, their mind could be in so many different places. You may feel like they're not giving you the time and attention this thing that you want to talk to them about deserves. They may not know how to handle what you're saying. They may be caught off guard, but also they may be agitated and irritated already. And so you may get a look on their face like, "What are you talking about? What do you mean, like, we need help? I know we've been fighting and arguing." Your parents are more likely to be defensive if they didn't have a time to get ready to receive something important from you. Now, third step is you want to start off the conversation. Let's say you come home after dinner. Let's say things are done. Your parents are like, "Hey, do you still want to talk about that thing? Because, now's a good time for me." You get the courage together. You say, Yeah, I would like to talk about that with you right now." And right when the conversation starts, I want you to make a couple statements, you guys. I want you to say something along these lines. Now, you can put it in your own words, but try to follow this type of outline, right? This type of script. I'm gonna say, "First off, thanks for, like taking the time to talk to me and listen about what I'm about to say, because this is something that's hard for me to say. Like I said earlier to you, like I didn't do anything bad, that I'm not confessing anything, I'm not mad or pissed off. In fact, I'm bringing this up because like I've been thinking about something that's been really concerning to me and worrying me. I've just been kind of nervous, don't know how to bring it up to you. So, just be patient with me right now because I'm trying to figure out how to say this. And if I don't say it the right way, and if you interrupt me and ask me a lot of questions, I may get stressed out and say, 'Oh, never mind.' And you know how sometimes I get like frustrated and I go, 'Forget it,' and I shut down. I don't want to do that this time. Like, this is really important. So if I start to stumble on my words, if I start to not know what to say, just can you try to just be patient with me and just let me kind of figure it out with like, don't interrupt me or anything like that, because I need a little bit more time sometimes to kind of get my thoughts together." That, you guys, if you can figure out how to say just that little part right there, A lot of teenagers tell me, older kids too, that when they try to explain something, try to express something, as soon as they get kind of caught up and they're not feeling confident about it, parents like to jump in and they go, wait, what's going on? Like, so are you saying this happened or this happened? And they start asking a bunch of questions because they're anxious and they're fearful and they're seeing you stressed. They're seeing you fumbling. They're seeing you having a hard time with it. Then they start to be suspicious sometimes. What's really going on? Is there something underlying here that they're not telling me? But if you tell them up front, you need some extra time, you don't want to be in a hurry, you want to try to explain this best you can, and you also don't want them to think that you're, angry or mad or unappreciative, ungrateful, but you're just trying to just say how you feel from the heart. That right there, you guys, is going to it's going to just give your parents something that's hard for parents to do when they're listening to their kids struggle or be in trouble with something. It's going to give your parents that reminder that it's okay for them just to listen for a while. They don't have to fix what you're saying. You just want them to pay close attention and to think and consider whatever it is you're about to say. After that, then the fourth thing you want to explain your fears and your worries. What is your concerns? Now, your fears, your worries, and concerns, I'm going to make up a scenario just to give you guys an example. Let's say your fears and worries, concerns is that your parents are fighting so much that you're worried about if they're going to stay together. You're also worried because you've been noticing that they're fighting, arguing, has caused them to be kind of short-tempered with you guys, that they're not acting like their normal self. You're noticing some things that have been different. Similar to how a parent brings up to you guys as teenagers, like, hey, I've been noticing lately, like, you're not hanging out with this friend, or you've been really grumpy or irritable. And when parents usually bring that up, it usually catches teenagers off guard, and teenagers get upset and get defensive. I mean, if they got a really good relationship with their parent and their parent comes at them at the right way, if like the parent followed the same steps I'm giving you, then it would go a lot better. But most of the time, parents will just kind of state what they see or what they're concerned or fearful of, and it catches teens off guard. They get their defenses up, and the conversation's not doesn't have a high probability of going well. And I don't want that to happen with you with your parents. I don't want you to make the same mistake that your parents make by just splurting out or blurting out, I should say, whatever they're thinking at that particular moment, if they're angry, frustrated, or worried about something. So that's a fourth step. Just explain what you're worried about, but explain it in a soft, calm way of like, and this is the example, it's like, hey mom, dad, or let's say you're talking to your dad. Hey dad, I just been noticing you and mom been fighting a lot lately. And I don't really know what's going on or what's happening, but it really is like causing me some stress and some worry. In fact, I've been noticing that your guys fighting lately is like cause you to be like more short-tempered, more irritable than you normally are. Like, by the way, kids out there, listen to this, you want to give your parent a compliment. You want to say like, you've always, and by the way, even if they haven't been always patient and calm with you, give them the benefit of the doubt. Say like, usually you're a lot more patient and calm. I've just been noticing you've been on edge, and I've just been worried about you, Dad, and I've been worried about you and Mom's relationship. And then also notice it's been like, to me, I feel like there's been more chaos and fighting because I think the stress is like, I think we're all feeling it. And so that's why I want to talk to you alone, because I didn't want you to think that like, I think you're a bad dad or that you don't love us. But you also told me I could tell you anything, Dad. You could that if there's anything bothering me, you never wanted me to keep it inside because that's not good and it can cause, a lot of other problems. So I'm just doing what you told me to do, Dad. And so I really hope you don't take offense to this or get mad at me because I just love you and I just want our family to be happy. Touching upon their heartstrings with your worries is your best pathway to get deeper inside their brain, deeper inside their emotions, to contemplate and to think and consider what you're saying instead of reacting to what you're saying. Because most parents, there's anytime we get criticism as a parent, even if it's helpful and positive, things that can happen from that criticism, it can still sting a little bit. It can still like still cause a parent to want to say, well, but I didn't mean to. I know, don't worry. Why do you think we've been arguing a lot lately? It's the same that we normally argue. Everyone's going to want to protect this. The parents I talk to, they're scared that their kids are noticing what's going on. They're so worried that you're stressed out that they sometimes like to tell themselves it's okay when it's not okay. So instead, by you bringing this up in this way, it's going to help them hear what you're saying instead of react to what you're saying. And then finally, the fifth step, just to thank them. Thank them for listening to you. If they are getting defensive at that fourth step and they start telling you, well, it's not that bad, or why do you feel this way? You know, thank them, say, well, I don't really know how to explain it, mom and dad, but thanks for listening to me. And I'm not blaming you. You know, I'm just glad that I could talk to you about these things, because I just thought you'd want to know, because you tell me that you always want to know how I feel and you want to know if I'm okay. Well, dad, I want to know if you're okay. And the way it looks like for me, you may not be horrible, but dad, you just don't look as happy as I normally am used to seeing you. I don't know how my kids figured this out, but my kids have been doing this to me. My daughter's only 13. My son's 9. My son's been doing it for about a year and a half. My daughter's been doing it for much longer, but they do the same thing to me and say, hey dad, like, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but just like, I feel like lately you've just been on edge lately and you're kind of like just mad at me or you're upset with me. And I remember one time my daughter said this to me. In my mind, I wanted to be like, what are you talking about? I haven't been upset with you. I've been on edge with you. Well, because I let her explain it, I could see where she was coming from. She was actually telling me that she's seeing me on edge and stressed out, and that energy is making her feel insecure about if she can make a mistake and I can even handle the mistake. She was noticing that my like responses to her were sharper and shorter and not as like patient as I normally was. It was a small little detail, but to her, it was very noticeable. I didn't train her how to do this. Had she not come at me in the right way, and had she not like, you know, approached me in a time what was good timing, I might have gotten really defensive and tried to dismiss it, even though I secretly know, gosh, maybe there is some truth to what she's saying. So those are the five steps, you guys. And I, you know, just go them really quickly. The first one, timing. You don't want to approach them when they're tired, stressed, hungry, or lots of other people around. Second one, you want to talk to them about eventually talking to them. So set up the conversation. Don't just spring it on them. Say, hey, I got something I want to talk to you about. Can we talk about it after practice, when I get home from school, or tomorrow, since it's Saturday? Or if, could we go out and have a little, you know, maybe you and I go grab a bite to eat, just the two of us, so I can talk to you about it. Set it up for them and then let them know it's not a problem. It's not something bad or wrong. It's just something that you just kind of wanted to talk to them about privately and something important, but nothing bad that you did. Third step, you want to start off the conversation by telling them that this is hard for you. You want to start off by letting them know that, if they could be patient with you, because you've been stressed about saying this. Even though it's not a bad thing, you just don't want them to take it the wrong way, and that you want it to go well. The fourth one is explain your fears and your worries. You want to let them know what your fears and your worries are, and also remind them that they've told you your whole entire life you can share anything you're concerned with, your fears, your worries with them. In fact, they want you to. And then after you get done doing that, regardless of what they say, you want to tell them thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you. And this is a big thing, because you want to give your parents a nice little attaboy or attagirl and give them a compliment for listening to you when you're just telling them to not interrupt you and listen to you, but to hear you out. That is a worthy compliment. What happens that is their brain will get the compliment from you. They'll associate this experience with, my kid came to me, did what I've always asked them to do, tell me something, but they told me something that was actually hard. I've always wanted my kid to tell me when they're feeling insecure, when their friends hurt their feelings, this and that. I wasn't really prepared for them to give me criticism about my life and my relationship decisions or how I'm behaving, but I'm thankful that they did. And so you want to be able to duplicate your reactions to your kids. And so if your reactions allowed your kids to trust you more, your brain's gonna be like, do more of that so that they can open up and tell you even more things that you've been curious about. Because you know there's things that your kids aren't sharing with you. And how do you get those things out of them? By questioning them over and over again and interrogating them? The answer to that is no. They gotta feel comfortable enough that you can handle the truth, even if it's not your truth, even if you don't believe it, if it's true to their feelings or true to them, they got to know that they can vent, they can express their feelings, emotions without you quickly going to fixing, solving, and parent mode. Just sit with them, understand, try to connect, try to relate. If you can do those things as a parent, they're going to continue to open up to you and practice sharing thoughts, feelings, and opinions with you. And also too, to this teenager that said this question, if you follow these steps, I can't guarantee you, unfortunately, I can't guarantee you that your parents will seek help or get sort of help, some sort of help, but this is a step in the right direction toward helping. And without even seeing a therapist, you helped your parents just by having this conversation with them and bringing this up. So as always, you guys, if you want to follow more of this content, you can follow us on any podcast platform. We are under as OG Therapy and all podcast platform out there. On YouTube, we're OG Therapy. On Instagram, we're OG.therapy. My personal Instagram is David_KOZLOWSKI. We post all the reels on our Instagram account for OG Therapy and for my own personal account. Then on top of it, we also have a TikTok account, which is OG Therapy Podcast. And last but not least, we have something called Patreon. If you want more bonus content, so over 2 years of content of these types of episodes that were not on the normal podcast platforms. And also every time I record these podcasts, we put the full video recording on Patreon. It does cost $5 a month though. So, but it does support what we do here. The Patreon membership I have right now just, you know, pays a couple bills. I haven't really pushed Patreon that much, but if you're like me and you want to watch the podcast in video form, go to www.patreon.com/OG Therapy for all that content. And until next time, you guys, just remember, when life stress and parenting stress and family stress and friend stress got you down your knees saying, Lord, baby, Jesus, Buddha, Allah, please. All you gotta do is just press play and listen to your OGs. We'll help you out with all the information that we've learned throughout the years. And until next time, be cool.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.